head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome into the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding. I'm a little fired up today. I tell you, lots of stuff going on, and very interesting things going on right here in my city of Louisville. As always, I try to bring you the most interesting people in the Ville. That's the theme of this show. It's all about the city of Louisville, and I may waver a little bit. I'm trying to stay local on this program, but there's a lot of stuff going on in the world that a lot of people want to talk about. But anyway, the most interesting people I have on the show this week, you're going to love these folks. I'm telling you, it's my pleasure to introduce you to some people that are doing some really interesting stuff. Some people maybe you haven't heard of, but that they are doing remarkable activities nonetheless, like we've had in many of the recent weeks right here on the Rusty Satellite Show. But in the second part of the show, I'm really excited about one of my favorite friends of all time, Laura Benson Jones, is going to be with me. We have a conversation about some of the things she's involved with in doing good work in our community. She you got to go back to like 1990. It was 1997 or 98. Laura had a fledgling business called Cardinal Wings out at Bowman Field, and she was trying to get established. I was a young reporter at Business First, and this probably goes against the ethics rules of newspaperdom, but she took me and two of my boys up in for an airplane ride, and just for fun. And it was quite an experience. I think Nick and Josh were like, they had to be, they weren't 10 yet. I know that. They were more like 6, 7, 8 years old. And it was an experience that I'm sure that they still remember. But anyway, Laura's done a lot of things since then. And I'm very excited to tell you about that. We had a nice long conversation. One of the new sponsors of this show is Platinum Panel. And it is it's a great thing. I'm very happy to have them as part of this show. Platinum Panel is it's a consumer research organization, and you're going to hear a lot about it from Matt Schulte, who is the president of the company, and he is talking. You ever wanted to do that, have an influence on, or ever wonder why Papa John's picks one kind of sauce over the other, or why KFC brings out a certain product at a certain time? Well, you know, they make those decisions a lot based on focus group research, and that is what they do at Platinum Panel. And it's a fun thing. You can get on, if you sign up for the Platinum Panel at platinumpanel.com, you can get on there, and they'll call you, and you can qualify to be on certain panels which make decisions about consumer products. So it's a lot of fun, very interesting field. And fascinating to me how that comes together. The show is also sponsored by Passport Health Plan. And my friends over there, I'm really excited about the work I'm doing for Passport in the West End. This week I went over to the St. George's Scholar Institute, which is a place in the West End. A guy named Arthur Cox runs it, and it's for middle school and high school kids. It's sort of an after-school program, but has loftier goals. And you'll be able to read about that in coming weeks and see a video of Mr. Cox at passportwellbeing.com. Click on the community, and you'll see all that. So thanks again to Passport for supporting what we're doing right here at Rusty Satellite Show. All right, well, what's up next is my interview with Matt Schulte. He's the president of Horizon, which runs the Platinum Panel. It's right over there in St. Matthews off on Bowling Boulevard. It's a beautiful facility. They got a lot of space there, a lot of room to sort of stretch out if you're on one of those panels. Certainly it's a good experience, and you walk out of there with cold hard cash if you are selected to participate in one of their studies. So, and Matt's doing a lot more with Platinum Panel that I'm anxious to share with you, and you'll hear about it right now here on the Rusty Satellite Show.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show is at Horizon Group in St. Matthews, and I'm glad to be with Matt Schulte, president of the company.
Happy to be here.
Okay. Okay. Well,
thanks for having me on the show. This
is a great facility. You've got a lot of square footage up here. Tell me some of the things that that go on up here.
Well, the nickel term for it is market research.
Okay.
And what we do is work with our clients, which are mostly consumer products and goods.
Okay.
And help them really bring the voice of the consumer to bear on their product development and marketing strategies.
Okay. Well, that sounds very interesting. I mean, I know I always wonder why people market certain products a certain way. And a lot of that goes back to consumer research.
Absolutely.
Like goes on here. We sit around a table and we take a look at something, and whatever the consensus is ends up being the marketing plan, right? What kind of products, or if you have an example of something that that you've been able to help a company do?
Sure. Just to bring a local example to bear would be Papa John's.
Okay.
We do a lot of work from them. They're a very good client. Do a lot of things over the course of their business, but I think one of the things that's most interesting and the research participants tend to find the most fun are the taste tests.
Okay.
So we'll bring consumers in to actually test different products and gather their opinions on them, whether they like it, whether they don't, why they do, why they don't, and then report that information back and help the company make an informed decision.
And so, and then Papa John's comes out with a new hamburger pizza or something, and that's where it comes from. Well, that's really interesting. I bet it's a lot of fun to be on these panels, right? You have a whole operation around getting people to come in and test things. That's the platinum panel.
So. That's the platinum panel.
Okay. That sounds fun to me. How would I become a part of that?
It's actually very easy. Platinumpanel.com.
Okay.
Simply go, fill out some basic information, and then you're included on our database. There's some follow-up that goes on, but basically once you're registered, you're immediately eligible for research. And a lot of people say, well, this is too good to be true, because really...
Because you get paid, right?
You get paid. You get paid to eat. You get paid to talk. You get paid to drink sometimes.
That's the gig I need.
Yeah,
I tell you, I do all those things well.
Yeah, as they say, it's a good gig if you can get it. And this one's pretty easy to get. You just sign up.
Okay, so are there certain types of people you're looking for, or certain demographics that are more popular than others?
No, actually, every study is unique. Sometimes we might be looking for millennials. Sometimes we might be looking for baby boomers. So really, our panel, we try and make it up to be as representative of the local consumer market as possible.
Okay. Okay, so I sign up to be, because I want to come in and eat free pizza.
Absolutely.
All right, so.
It's even better than free. We pay you.
So how do I get qualified? I mean, I guess it's not just sign up on the site and come in. You have to, I guess, be interviewed, right?
It's really not a interview process to join the panel. So once you're on the panel, you're immediately eligible to participate in projects.
Okay.
Each project now has a very specific consumer type that we might be looking for.
Okay.
So just to use the pizza example, we don't want to talk with people who absolutely hate pizza.
Mm-hmm.
So for each project, we send out what we call a screener. So you'll receive that electronically via email. It'll have a series of questions that are usually related to the product or the topic that we're talking about.
Right.
And then based on that, we make our selections for who the best qualified participants would be.
Okay. So that's stuff like they want certain age groups, or they might want
different demographics
or whatever.
You know, how many times do you eat fast food in a month, or pretty easy stuff.
Yeah, pretty easy stuff. And you just hope you make it. I know. How much people get what do you get paid if you come up? I'm sure there's a range.
There is a range. It ranges if you actually come into our facility to, for instance, do a taste test.
Uh-huh.
That may be an hour-long process, in which case that would be a $75 cash incentive.
Okay.
Longer, more involved processes, up to $150 to $200.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's some like easy money, it sounds like. So so that's really good. So if we get people signed up and they come in and they participate in the thing, I mean, how often could you expect to get to do something like this as part of the Platinum Panel?
Well, you're not going to make a living doing it. and it really depends on...
It's another career path shot.
Yeah, no, unfortunately. it really depends on the amount of projects that we have going on. There is a period if you've come in and done something where you might not be eligible for a certain period of time, especially if it's the same type of product or topic. But, you know, several times a year.
Yeah. Well, I'm really interested in this entire field because your company's been around a long time. You told me you were second generation. This company's been around for 35 years. You've got lots of clients. You do a lot of this type of research. And, you know, I'm curious as the value of that research. It must be something that a lot of different companies must really believe in it.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, what's the value in spending millions of dollars to develop a product if you have no idea whether or not the consumer market likes it?
Right. Yeah, and I guess I'm sure in the history of the company you've been involved in a lot of decisions. Are there like stories about ideas gone wrong or something that was really successful in terms of you know, because basically the companies are counting on you. You're not doing the advertising. You're not doing anything. You're just telling these companies if their product is going to be accepted by consumers, right?
Yes, and it's not always a yes or no. We may learn that, hey, this product or this idea has legs, but we need to tweak this and we need to tweak that and we need to fix this in order to make it something that's really going to be appealing to the market. So sometimes most times it's not a go or a no-go decision.
Right.
It's how do we, you know, bring information to the forefront to make sure that the product or the service is as best as it can be.
Okay. Well, as far as the Platinum Panel goes, it just seems like this would be a great group for using information for even other purposes. I know I've talked to you in the past about you've got all this data that you've collected and all that, and you know there's got to be other uses or other benefits for Platinum Panel members, right?
There is, and sometimes it's not just coming in and you know eating pizza or tasting popcorn. We also do a lot of online surveys that help inform local businesses. So one of the things that we like to do is make our panel available to smaller local organizations who just need some basic information. Mm-hmm. And if you're on the panel, you might receive a brief survey, you know, 5 minutes, fill out a few questions, and that helps local businesses make better decisions.
Okay. Because, I'd be curious, local businesses versus a lot of your clients, like Papa John's, they're talking about million-dollar decisions,
sure.
Right? But a local business may not have enough money to put on a taste test or something like that. So that's a service you make available to them. You do a lot of those?
It is. Actually, we just did some work for the Louisville Independent Business Alliance.
Okay.
Which, if
friends
you're not,
of mine.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Which is sort of the Keep Louisville Weird group.
Yeah.
And they were just interested in knowing among the local consumer market what the general sentiment is on kind of the buy local movement.
Yeah.
Do people buy into that? If they do, why do they? Again, just some basic information to help them make better decisions in the future.
Yeah. Well, I'm all part of that. I hope the results turned out that other people are buying into it. I don't know if you can say how it came out, but, you know, certainly that's a positive thing.
It was a positive thing.
Okay.
And hopefully a positive thing for that organization and helps them make some more informed decisions moving forward.
Okay. Well, we're right here around the holidays. Is this a good time to get, I mean, I know you're gearing up with some marketing to get more members of the panel so you can have a bigger group, I guess, to get friends. Is this the time of year that's that you got a lot of studies going on?
It is. What we see is a lot of times towards the end of the year, clients need to get rid of some of their budgets that they've built up. So we do quite a bit of work around this time, but it stays pretty steady throughout the course of the year.
Okay. Yeah, it's such a great facility here. I can imagine that it's not a bad thing to, if you're on the panel, to come up here a couple times a year and enjoy some whatever the product is, right?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the range of products that you might be exposed to if you were on the panel. Does it go to, I guess it's consumables, food, drink?
It really runs the range. Just another interesting example. I can't mention the specific name of the company, but okay. they make razor blades.
Okay.
So the actual project itself involved our panelists who, you know, qualified as males who use razors to shave.
Yeah.
They came into our facility and picked up a new kind of prototype razor.
Okay.
They went home and they used it for said period of time. And then after that, they came back in and completed a survey and went through some other discussions to basically tell us what they thought of
it. Yeah. Now, see, there's one I could do. I always tell people I'm a member of the Dollar Shave Club.
Are you?
Yes. I'm a full member. It's on my resume. I'm really proud of that. But, it's funny. That company does some great marketing, great commercials. Yeah. And who would have thought, you know, 10 years ago that people would be getting a product like razor blades, like delivered in the mail instead of going and buying them at the grocery?
Yeah, absolutely. it's amazing. Sometimes I've seen a lot of different things, ideas, products come through here. And that's one of the really neat things. And I also think something neat for the participants is you actually get to kind of have a behind-the-scenes look at how products are developed.
Sure.
And you may do something and not hear anything about it, but then a year later, all of a sudden you see this new idea that you were on the front end of show up on TV somewhere as a new product.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And I guess there's flops, too. I guess that'd probably be the funniest thing is to see the flops. Like, I always think, and the way technology changes, I remember years and years ago, I said, you know, what a dumb idea. Nobody's going to buy dog food on the internet, right? And I don't know. I don't know how they come out. I don't think a lot of people do that, but maybe some do. And how has technology changed this business?
Oh, technology's changed this business tremendously. In the early days, in order for us to find participants for the research, this is actually when people had landlines and would actually answer their phone for you.
You could call them.
We had to randomly call through and identify people who met certain criteria and then ask them to participate and convince them it's legitimate. Really, technology now has allowed us to communicate with our panelists and engage with them in a much more efficient capacity.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I think that whole phone thing is I always look at these people when I hear about politics and say they're still doing surveys by calling people up on their phone. Well you know, that's got to be flawed anyway, because the there are certain demographics about people who would actually answer their landline phones that would alter your case, right?
Absolutely. And I think if you look at just the last two elections and you look at how some of the projections were made based on that telephone polling, you can see that's a challenging approach anymore.
All right. Well, we got to wrap it up here, Matt. But, man, Platinum Panel is something I think certainly we're going to be encouraging on the Rusty Satellite Show people to go and sign up for, platinumpanel.com. And, it's great to meet you and see your place.
Well, thank you. Thanks for coming out. Yeah, it's a great opportunity. A lot of people don't know about it, but if you're interested in coming in and kind of seeing how the sausage gets made as far as, new products and new
maybe
services.
Maybe even see some sausage, right?
Yeah, you might even see some real sausage. Maybe get paid a little bit for it. It's a great way to do it. So, yeah, Platinum Panel.
All right.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. It comes out on Louisville.am.
And welcome back. It was fun going over there to the Platinum Panel headquarters. They got a really nice facility over there. Loved the opportunity to talk to Matt about his business. It was really great. And that's what we do here on the Rusty Satellite Show. We talk about local people and what they're doing and local news. And sometimes I just waver a little bit out of the way when something happens because, this thing in Alabama, everybody's talking about. Judge Roy Moore, the basic, the pedophile, the child molester who almost won a seat in the U.S. Senate with the backing of fellow sex predator Donald J. Trump, our president. And the good news is there's a lot of celebration in Democratic circles because the population of Alabama proved that they would not put a sexual predator in office. And so Roy Moore was defeated by a guy named Doug Jones, and that's all great. The reaction to it is pretty amazing. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but some of Trump's tweets are just they're just amazing. Like this one, I thought was shows how much ego this guy has, which we all know he's got more ego than anybody in the world. But the reason I originally endorsed Luther Strange is that I said Roy Moore will not be able to win the general election. I was right. Roy worked hard, but the deck was stacked against him. So Trump is claiming some sort of victory for being right in predicting that Roy Moore would lose, even though he went out there and spent a lot of time campaigning for Roy Moore. The two sexual predators were out there together trying to get the people of Alabama to hoodwink them into voting this guy into office. It didn't work. Doug Jones is in, and that's great. But Trump, this relates to a local story, so that's the only reason I'm going here. Another tweet that he did, because he was mad at a senator, he tweeted, "Lightweight Senator Kristen Gillibrand, a total flunky for Chuck Schumer and someone who would come by my office begging for campaign contributions not so long ago and would do anything for them, is now in the ring fighting against Trump." That's just... it's really despicable. And our local congressman, John Yarmuth, he periodically does this. I don't always share those with you, but when Trump or some of the Republicans do something, he puts out a statement showing intelligently disagreeing with whatever it is that's going on. So Yarmuth put out this statement regarding that tweet. Yarmuth said, "Regarding reacting to allegations of sexual misconduct by trying to publicly shame yet another woman, the president has shown us exactly what kind of person he is. This is not about politics. Trump has proven to be a poison for the presidency, a cancer on the country, and a truly disgraceful human being." I certainly couldn't agree more, but, speaking of local news, we have our own big story in the news, and my congratulations to the folks at the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting, who have put out a special report called The Pope's Long Con. The Pope's Long Con. It's about Dan Johnson, who is somehow, you people in Bullock County, I don't know how you put this guy in office, but somehow Dan Johnson, of course he's a right-wing Republican, of course he espouses all the same things that Trump does, has basically been shown and proven by this report to there's an allegation of being a sexual predator toward a 17-year-old girl. There's allegations that he burned a car for the insurance money, that he lied about his presence at major American events like 9/11 and riots in Los Angeles. He even claims, believe it or not, to have been a chaplain at the White House. Now, no such office exists, so... I really encourage you to read this entire story. It is really good. R.G. Dunlop and Jacob Ryan are the authors of this story. They did a lot of research. It's the result of, I think they said, more than 100 interviews and several thousand pages of public documents. So, of course, Johnson is claiming he's gone to the Republican playbook and denied most all of the allegations, says he will not resign from office. Governor Bevin has reprimanded him, but he's a fellow Republican, so he hasn't asked him to resign. And it's just an amazing story. Dan Johnson, of course, not the Dan Johnson that we know in the Metro Council here in Louisville, who was kicked out for a series of sexual misconduct allegations. It's just a long running thing. But if you think you've heard it all, read the story on you can find it at WFPL.org, and you can listen to it there. There's all sorts of things. You can spend hours with this story. And believe it or not, he's got a church. He calls himself a preacher, and he's there's a Heart of Fire church. It's a couple miles from my house in Fern Creek, and the Heart of Fire Church, and that's where a lot of this stuff went on. It was a building where they had church services in the morning and bacchanals, big parties with alcohol at night, and this guy. A lot of people know about all this, and he's still in office. That's what I can't. Anyway, what else is going on? I know you're a lot of folks are interested in my plight with the Jefferson Town government and Airbnb. I did get some results back from a public records request, and found out that basically, a lot of these people A lot of people in government in Jeffersontown, this is a long-running thing. They've been debating this sort of internally for months. And certainly when the Metro Louisville put forth its regulations in 2016, cities like Jeffersontown were not obligated to follow those codes. And so Jeffersontown, like many of those cities, did not adopt its own, and they found a spot in the land development code book, which I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating, is 5 or 6 inches thick, that defines a dwelling unit, which is like the one at my place, as a home that somebody lives and is not leased for less than 30 days. Now, I don't know why they wrote that into the original laws. I think they were written in about 2004 in J-Town. But this is what these people are latching on to out there. I wrote a long appeal to the city council and asked them to reconsider the law and make changes. I haven't heard anything back from them on that. I haven't heard anything back from the mayor on my request to have a conversation about the law. I also haven't received anything from the city after they gave me a verbal warning. A guy knocked at my door, a guy who I've since learned the code enforcement officer is somebody that I wrote a negative story about back in 2011. So I wonder if that has anything to do with them selecting me and the house in Plainview that has a complaint on it as the only places they've prosecuted so far. The only code enforcement actions have been taken on my house and that house in Plainview. So it's a little fishy. It's a little bit fishy. So anyway, if we'll see what happens next. I haven't received any sort of warning other than verbal, and so nothing has changed so far. It is my desire in this case to have the council consider regulations similar to the ones that Metro Louisville has. Why they wouldn't do that, I'm not sure. These people that are against it, they're operating out of fear. They have no evidence of anything that has ever gone wrong as a result of an Airbnb in J-Town. They have no incident reports. They have no complaints about a specific thing that happened while a visitor was staying. They just got a bunch of people who are paranoid, who don't want people in their neighborhood. Now, you can read whatever you want into that. The complaints that I read, it's all white out there. I think those people might be afraid of somebody with the skin of a different color coming into their neighborhood. But anyway, there's two complainants out there that don't want strangers coming in and out of their neighborhood, and they're so scared about it, they have said they don't let their kids play outside anymore because of the presence of this one house. Not people coming in and out of it, but knowing that it's an Airbnb and there might be some strange people, people that they don't know. I don't mean they're strange. I mean people that they don't know. I don't know how a person can be that scared of something. So anyway, that's my rant about that for this week. I'll keep you updated as things move forward. There's a lot going on in town. This is December. It's the holiday season. I'm very excited about it. It's a fun time of year. I don't think I'm putting up a tree this year though, but my girlfriend Paula is, and it's all good. My boys are all coming in from far away, I guess. My son Nick is studying theater in Italy, and he is coming back for Christmas for the first time in a year. I'm very excited about seeing him. And my son Josh, who lives in Colorado, is coming back right after the holiday. He's actually not going to be here for Christmas, but he'll be here right after. So that's going to be exciting, and that's what's going on with me. And so there's a whole much more going on, but I want to get to Laura Benson Jones, who is just a delightful person and a very accomplished businesswoman and a heck of a pilot, from what I hear. She is doing a lot of work. She's organized this program for young people called Flight Club 502 that you're going to hear about, and she's also involved with the Speed Museum. She's a very ardent supporter of the Speed Museum. We talked about maybe having some other guests in the near future on the Rusty Satellite Show related to that. This is a Speedball is going to bring in some big names. It's coming up in March. So Laura Benson Jones is the co-chair of that big event for the Speed. And she talks about that a little bit and a little bit of other stuff. So listen in. Here's my talk with Laura Benson Jones.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
All right, the Rusty Satellite Show is in the studio today with Laura Benson Jones, one of my favorite people in the world. How are you, Lauren?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
It's great. I always like seeing you and remembering that time way back when my kids were very little, and you took them up in the air in an airplane ride.
I think it was like 1996. That's how old I am. Or that's how old they are now.
Well, they're 27 and 26 now, and I know they were little bitty, and it was just a blast doing that. I can't thank you enough. I know I've already thanked you a million times for that, but it was fun, and you went on from there and have done a lot of stuff in aviation. But you let's start with Cardinal Wings, which is the thing you started.
Right. I believe in the American dream. And Cardinal Wings is a great example of that. It was a business that I started in 1992. My dad thought I was very challenged to start a business without any customers. I didn't have an airplane, and he thought my biggest challenge was that I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
But somehow or another, I just had the determination, and I probably had the ignorance to start something that I had absolutely no idea.
You didn't know it was going to be hard.
I didn't know, and that really worked out for me. And I'm really glad. I'm really glad that I didn't know how hard it was going to be, because, you know, we as a group, all of us that work there, were able to touch and change a lot of lives, and we certainly created a lot of pilots. So we started that business in 1992, and sold it in 2001 to a company out of Lexington, Kentucky, Aerotech. And we were the largest flight school in the region with 22 aircraft. I think I had 35 employees and a customer base of over 4,000. Wow. And we had traffic business in Louisville, Lexington, and Cincinnati. And we also had a business that did all the computerized testing.
Wow.
So it was a great business. It was a lot of fun. It was a journey. It was my Harvard business degree. maybe not that. And after that, I did help write the business plan for the Cardinal Wings that's currently at Bowman Field. I wrote the business plan for a man by the name of Mr. Ron Geary.
Okay.
And he sold that business to Brian Carnes. So there's still actually a Cardinal Wings at Bowman Field. It's not the same Cardinal Wings.
It's not the same one. Okay.
But it's an absolutely outstanding flight school.
Okay. Well, great. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about now, because I ran into you a little while ago, and I know you're involved in all sorts of things. You look on your LinkedIn profile, there's like 100 awards that you've won in business. But you have started a nonprofit that has very lofty goals for young people.
Right. Yeah, Rick, it's funny. I've taught a lot of people how to fly. So in October of 2015, there was a handful of girls who I'd taught their dads how to fly in the early 90s. And they said, "You have to teach us how to fly." And I kind of looked at the girls and I said, "You know, I'm out of the flight training business."
Yeah.
And they said, "Come on, you can do it." So I said, okay. And I decided to bring the girls in. And when I brought them in, I sort of had an epiphany. I realized that this was my moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that I could really do something to help these teenagers. I started thinking about just the importance of academics and really making it relevant, the STEM education. Then I start thinking about leadership, developing workers, people that will stand up and be leaders. And I think about drugs. I hate drugs. I worry about the epidemic that we have with drugs in our teenagers. Kentucky's number 5. So, you know, it's almost like talking about cancer. You can't go anywhere in the city without talking to someone who has a personal experience with a teenager who's had drug and alcohol problems. So when we started Flight Club and teaching the girls, I started integrating, you know, practical living lessons into the program. So we start talking about emergencies, and I say,
okay, you know, Sarah, what do you do if you lose your engine in an airplane? And she says, well, you know, make sure your carburetor heats on.
Remain,
you know,
calm.
I mean, like, she goes through her checklist and she has it memorized, because in an emergency, you will react quickly without thinking. Mm-hmm. And then I look over and I say, okay, what are you going to do? Eloise, when you go to a party and your cousin offers you pot, because if you really haven't thought about what you're going to do, you'll react quickly without thinking, mm-hmm. or you'll go into shock. And I mean, we know this. This is just basic psychology 101. And in flight training, we teach emergencies over and over and over again. And if you're ever in an emergency in an airplane, you'll be fine,
yeah.
because we've taught you what to do. That's what makes flying so safe. So I've been able to correlate those lessons to real life. And I think if those kids choose whatever they choose to do, they're going to do it very consciously. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want. And the second thing is that we start talking about aviation weather, cross-country planning, and we start talking about the weather that they learned in school. You know, it's really yeah. great that you either paid attention, and if you didn't, then you need to relearn it right now, because we use this.
Yeah.
The lessons you're learning in school, we use in real life. And that's been fun for me to see the light bulb come on. I've worked with kids my whole career, so
sure.
I just kind of maybe I forgot for 5 seconds.
But these kids, they're not all the offspring of people you've taught to fly. I mean, how have kids come to the program?
So I started with the 8 girls, and my sons were very upset. And they said, Mom, you're so gender biased.
It's just not fair.
I know. I have 3 boys. I have a whole lot of girls that aren't mine biologically, but they're in my lives and I love them. But so my son said, Mom, this is not going to happen. You know, we're going to invite a group of our friends. So just 6 weeks after I started the girls, I started a group of kids that were invited by my sons. So I had 20 kids, and we started off by making an invitation only because, you know, I only had 8 seats in my office at Bowman Field.
Right.
I could only bring in so many kids. And then they invited the next group. So I guess we're on our third class of Flight Club 502.
And you told me there's like 90 now?
There are 90 kids in the program.
Wow.
You have to be 13 years old to be in the program. You need to be of good moral character. You have to be,
that eliminates a lot of people.
You have to be willing to work, mm-hmm. because the kids in Flight Club actually work to pay for their flight training.
Okay.
They had, it took, I guess, we started the first kids in October of 2015. And I said to the kids, I'm not going to keep working with you and donating my time unless I can see that you kids are going to work. Oh, okay. Mrs. Jones, we'll work. What do you want us to do? And I said, I want you to go out and look, you can start a business. A social entrepreneurship business to pay for your flight lessons. But if your parents are just going to pay for everything, it doesn't make you very interesting for me.
Yeah.
I like to be around people who are willing to work and pay their own way. And
so you did.
So they said, we'll do it. And I helped them write a business plan. Wow. And they wrote the business plan. And the business plan was to teach, their business was going to be to teach summer camps and after school programs to younger kids. So we wrote the curriculum. They made some marketing pieces, wow. which maybe weren't the best in the world. But you know what? They filled that camp up with kids, and they earned money. They earned about $6,000 that summer.
Wow, that's amazing.
We realized the money wasn't going to go very far when you're paying $150 an hour to rent an airplane.
Right.
So the kids decided that they needed to have a fundraiser. Okay. And a gentleman came to us, and he said, I'm going to donate a most generous gentleman, Clyde Enzer from Crew Aviation out of Stanford Field. He owns a aircraft charter company. He has corporate jets, and he flies people from a lot of different corporations around. And he said, I'm going to donate. At first he said, I like what you're doing over there. I'm going to donate $10,000.
Wow.
And then we said, no, no, no. Because the kids won't learn anything if people just give them money.
Yeah.
That's against our entire premise, right?
Right.
So
how did they earn it?
So he said, I'll donate a flight in the Citation jet for 500-mile radius from Louisville. Okay. It's a $10,000 value. So the kids made up raffle tickets for $100 a piece, and they raised enough money to buy an airplane.
All right. Well, we have a whole other topic we want to move on to, but Flight Club 502 is, if somebody's interested in that, how do they find out about it?
They can email the kids at flightclub502@gmail.com.
Okay. Sounds good. Maybe one of their projects could be to put together a website or something.
They have a website.
Okay.
Flight Club 502.
Flight Club 502.
I think it's .org. Maybe.
.org. All right. So if you're interested in that and Laura's group of young entrepreneurs, that's how you get a hold of them. All right. But you're involved in something totally different that is great for the city, and that's this upcoming speedball. It's coming up in March, but it takes a lot of work, I guess, to get this, and you're interested in art, I guess.
Well, I think we all should be.
Yeah. Okay, I'm on board.
Well, I mean, the studies show that cities with art are happy cities. Mm-hmm. So we know that. So it's just, and it's a basic, it's not a basic asset. It's a really important asset that we have for our city and for our state and for this part of the region to have a national museum like the Speed Art Museum, especially when businesses go out to try to recruit employees.
Sure.
Or when our city goes out to recruit businesses to relocate. And we can show them our portfolio that we have this beautiful art museum.
So, well, tell us, because we are running out of time, about the speedball and why you're involved in it.
Okay. So, yes, of course. Well, this year I agreed to co-chair the ball, and it's been a lot of fun because I'm working with people from all over the country. We have committee members from Washington, D.C., committee members from Los Angeles, San Francisco, Washington, wow, Frankfurt, Lexington. We decided to expand the committee to really represent a support that's a more national support base for the Speed Art Museum. And everyone we recruited is from Louisville.
Well, very good.
So we have John Alasia, who is the guy who founded Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, wow.
And John Mayer. He's their producer. He's on our committee, and he found a band for the ball. And the band is an amazing
it's
band.
It's not Dave Matthews.
No, but Dave, yeah, the same agent for Dave Matthews. It's the Dirty Dozen Band out of New Orleans, and they're amazing. If you haven't heard their music, you can hear them on iTunes.
Okay.
So the ball itself will be a dinner in the old galleries. It's really beautiful sit-down dinner, and then there'll be a dance party afterwards. And the dance and desserts, I think, start at 9:30. Tickets are $200 donation to the museum for the dance and dinner. It's a super fun party to be in this museum listening to this beautiful music. And
I saw that they're going to have a – because you and another woman are chairing it, they're going to have like a woman's art.
Well, that this
– Did I read that correctly?
Well, it just so happens that the exhibit that will be at the museum during the ball will be featuring women artists.
Okay.
So we sort of made the theme of a soft theme for the ball, celebrating women.
Wow.
And so the committee is made up of men. I think this is going to be a first time.
But the bosses, the ones in charge are women. So that's what's important, right?
We'll see how that goes.
All right, Laura, I think we could sit here and talk for like another 2 hours, but as such, we have a format here at the Rusty Satellite Show, and we got to conclude.
Thank you for hosting me today.
You're fun. Always enjoy your company, and glad you're able to come back. Very great things you're doing. Flight Club 502 and the Speedball and a million other things. So anyway, thanks again for coming by.
Great to see you. Thank you.
All right, and wasn't Laura Benson-Jones just a really fascinating person to be around? I really am glad that she was able to come to the studio and talk to me. And then later, we went out to Bowman Field, and we took a picture out there in a hangar. You can find that photo on Facebook, or it'll be part of the post for this Rusty Satellite Show at rustysatelliteshow.com. Always happy to remind you that LouisvilleKY.com is the site that I run for local news and information. It's all great. And thanks again to my sponsors, Platinum Panel, and thanks to Matt Schulte for being on the show this week, and also my good friends at Passport Health Plan. That's going to do it for the show this week. I hope you get out and do something fun. Maybe you have a holiday party to go to, or or something else going on. But anyway, it's there's a lot to do in Louisville, despite the cold, and hope you get to go out and do it. Have some fun. And remember, tell your friends about the Rusty Satellite Show. It's really a labor of love for me to do this show now for 232 consecutive weeks. So anyway, that's a pretty amazing record. It's the only local podcast that really highlights such a wide variety of people and places that are going on in the city that I love so much. So anyway, that's it. This is Rick Redding. I'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.